Welcome to the First Unitarian Universalist Society of San Francisco Sunday Morning Worship Service Podcast. For more information or downloads of previous audio services, go to uusf.org. While you're there, check out our monthly newsletter, Weekly Flame, and much, much more.
I don't know how many of you know, but Fred Rogers was a minister, Presbyterian, a bona fide seminary graduate, but with a very unusual calling, one that was strange and wondrous, to create meaningful television programming for children. Tom Junod, the real name of the fictional journalist who's portrayed in the movie A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, that 2019 movie about Mr. Rogers, he said of Mr. Rogers, quote, "He considered the space between the television set and the eyes of his audience sacred." Fred Rogers also had very specific goals about how he entered into that sacred territory and what work and ministry he believed needed to happen there. Famously, Fred Rogers once testified before Congress when funding for the nascent reality of public television was up for crippling budget cuts. The footage is well known, probably some of you have seen it. The hearing was headed by this hard-nosed senator who was, it seemed, particularly disinclined to maintain the funding and who melted, I think it's safe to say, under the peculiar gentleness and straightforwardness and unself-consciousness of Fred Rogers. When asked what he did on the show, Rogers said, among other things, that he wanted kids to know that feelings were mentionable. And once things were mentionable, he thought they were manageable. If he had a theme, one for sure was that kids needed to know that feelings were important and acceptable, and that we had the power over what we did with them. In the end, the senator, who admitted to having goosebumps, said, "I think it's wonderful. Looks like you just earned yourself the $20 million. And public television was funded. Fred Rogers was not very open about his own childhood. But as a kid, he did say that his family didn't make much room for feelings, especially the hard ones. Those who worked on the show observed that even as an adult, Fred Rogers seemed better able to express his feelings through puppets, particularly the tiger puppet, Daniel, than he could directly as himself. And the real-life children of Mr. Rogers, they said in a documentary about their father that when he was going to say something, as they put it, very un-Mr. Rogers-y, at home, he would use the puppet Lady Elaine's voice. That's when they knew he meant business. Growing up, I'm pretty sure from stories that I've heard that not all of your feelings were respected all of the time. And for most of us, that level of parenting was still a huge step forward from what our parents reported about how their feelings were treated or respected. I mean, it wasn't so far back that children were supposedly made to be seen and not heard. So progress takes time. Yet to Mr. Rogers' point, it's funny, I think, how you and I still remember times when our feelings weren't respected. How that experience of not being heard, of having what you felt discounted or doubted, sticks with you how it teaches us, subtly or not so subtly, to distrust ourselves, to feel bad about hard feelings, wrong for having them. But they're just feelings, right? It's what we do with them that matters, Mr. Rogers used to say. Of course, some emotional regulation is key to growing up. If you and I are in a grumpy mood, learning to set that aside and fake some good cheer at our best friend's birthday party, well, it's kind and humane, right? It's a good life skill to have. It's a little bit of what living the golden rule can look like, I'd even say. We are, after all of us, we're parts of a community of competing emotional needs, and sometimes what you do with your feelings is about choosing to do your part for the greater good of the whole or to care for someone else. But so is learning to listen to ourselves and to attend to our inner life. A child stuffing their feelings rarely gets them anywhere. And a lifetime of that, as we know, can get us into some trouble. Listen to the stories of people who struggle with addictions or emotional eating, or listen to problems that come up in relationships, and a host of hurt can usually be traced back to some kind of stuffing or ignoring of what we feel. So there's incredible wisdom in feelings. Our children's feelings can often tell them things that their cognitive brains don't understand yet. To be honest, I think our feelings have a wisdom and a depth that our rational minds often lack. Let me give you an example. As a 10-year-old, my childhood dog died. We had left her behind with my grandparents on their New Mexico farm when we moved to New York City, and she got sick about a year or so after we left her there. I was told she was sick at about the same time, well, really, at the same time, I was told that she'd already been put to sleep. I'd never been to a funeral at that point in my life or lost anyone close to me. Really close to me. But my response, as I remember, was immediate. I wanted to fly to New Mexico. I wanted to find a way to retrieve her body, to have her with me, to bury her, at least to get her ashes, to pay some homage to her. And let's be clear, that was an incredibly inconvenient wish. It was expensive, to say the very least, and it wasn't a wish my family could indulge. But was the urge I had to do all the rituals of goodbye as a child, that urge, was it silly and sentimental? Was it childish? Was it frivolous? It wasn't one that anyone had anticipated, but was it strange? I don't think so, though I felt, I think, a little bit that way then. Now, years into life and ministry, thinking back on that moment of deep feeling, I think that reaction was one of the most tender and gorgeous seeds of reverence for life that I knew previously. I think it was evidence, actually, of a heart that had this gorgeous urge to honor life and its loss, all loss. I think, like so many of our childhood urges and feelings, there was huge wisdom there. Now, there's always wisdom in those places of deep feeling. And so there's danger in the forgetting of those feelings or talking ourselves out of them as part of growing up. For so many reasons, as he knew, Fred Rogers was right to listen to children, to see them as they were, to show them how to trust listening and to love themselves. In June of 2018, The Atlantic Monthly published an article by Maxwell King, an article about Fred Rogers and the way he talked to children. King wrote about how Mr. Rogers insisted that every word, whether spoken by a person or a puppet, was scrutinized closely. Hedda Scharapin, who was one of the members of the staff at Fred Rogers' production company, shared once how Rogers had stopped the taping of a show when a cast member told the puppet, Henrietta Pussycat, not to cry. He stopped it because he said the show would never suggest to children that they not cry. Feelings were feelings, he would say. It's what we do with them that's important. And if all those complicated feelings were acceptable, and the gorgeous, delightful ones too, and if kids were worth listening to and being seen, well, then they'd know they were loved in the most authentic and authenticating way. When asked in an interview with Charlie Rose about how many children he thought he'd influenced, Fred Rogers said he thought we got too caught up in numbers. If there was only one child I helped, he answered, it would be enough. The one who matters, he said, is always the one who's right in front of you. And when you saw him talk into the camera or talk to one of his guests, you knew he meant it. In his eyes, you were seen, you were deeply listened to, which is to say, you were loved. And the most important part of being alive, he thought, was to love, to learn to love others and trust in all of it. How are you feeling? The question and the listened to answer. It wasn't, it isn't perfunctory. It didn't matter what age you were or are. It was a central act of love. And all the kids in the neighborhood needed it.
Чего паки возможете, и паки побежде не будете.
Thanks for listening to this podcast of the First Unitarian Universalist Society of San Francisco Sunday Morning Worship Service. For more information or downloads of previous audio services, go to uusf.org.
Ниже судимся,
яко с нами Бог.
Господа же Бога нашего того освятят, и возводят нам
здравь, яко с нами Бог.
И уповая буду на Него, и спасуся им,
яко с нами Бог.